The Sunday Grill on Beat.
It's the Sunday Grill and I'm here on the Shmore Road in County Waterford at a new business. It is called The Sauna Social and I'm speaking to the owner. Martin, tell us a little bit about, I guess, this whole idea and what you wanted to achieve.
Martin Power here. I'm one of the owners. I set up the Sauna Social, I suppose, it was born about a year ago. I was working in a large pharmaceutical plant for about 8 years and there was potential redundancies coming up and I was looking for what the next chapter looked like. But in that time when I was trying to figure that out, I began using saunas more regularly. A friend of mine built a fantastic facility close to where I worked and I started using them more regularly and I could see the benefit in my body and mental health and I said there's definitely something more in this. And the opportunity presented itself obviously through redundancy, which is normally a negative for people, but I decided I'm going to bring that level of wellness that I was learning for myself to the people of Waterford. As I said, a Waterford native, I'm from very close to here. I knew the exact spot I wanted it to go in. And I have to say, I'm blown away by how well it's turned out and how well it's been received. So it was to create that wellness space, introduce people of Waterford to a new way of sauna.
And I love the way that you kind of talk about it as a space because there are lots of hot pods and saunas, little ones springing up across the southeast. But this is kind of an experience in itself, which we will learn about in a few minutes' time. This is a space, I guess, and also the Sauna Social. Did you want it to be a social space to begin with?
It's a great question, actually. You were mentioning about the hot pods popping up. Yeah, so obviously we have the hot pod here in Waterford. It's a fantastic facility. They've been around for years and it's someone that I use very regularly. This is a different experience. Did I want it to be social? It's probably proved to be more social than I even imagined and for in a positive way. So a lot of the saunas I was using around the country were maybe more spa-like, less talking. That's fantastic as well. Some people go to just completely switch off. But the aesthetic here that we were looking at and the vibe and the mix of the people coming through has really leaned into the branding. It's on a social and there's a great vibe here. Everybody's chatting, everybody's fun. I did intend it to be social, but it's definitely exceeded my expectations, you know, and people have really bought into it. So they've made it what it is.
Okay, so walk us through the building here. As we walk in, we have the wooden floors, some gravel, we have some greenery. What did you want to create when people walked in here?
There was a very purposeful build here. We figured out the aesthetic that we wanted and the materials we wanted to use. So there's a strong colour theme here that links everything back to nature. So the wood panels, the brown wood, the dark container. Everything here was purposely picked from the astroturf right through to the artificial and then the real plants that we have throughout the area. So it's to bring that nature inside where we can in real and then to replicate it with similar things like luxury astroturf and the wood panel and tiles when you come in the door. So it's to give that warm welcome. That's what's most important in the sauna social.
We'll have a little walk through now and I see up here on the left hand side there are some pillows, some chairs, yeah. A really cozy vibe. Is this for people when they come in, when they finish up?
So this little area is called The Nest. You see a lot of this on social media. So this was a really purposeful building. And it's exactly for that. If somebody arrives a little early for their session, they're waiting for a friend, they don't want to get the tour or they don't want to get into the changing area. It's a lovely little sheltered space where you can sit and meet. I love seeing groups gathering here. We don't always get groups gathering, but it's lovely to see people sitting in here because it naturally brings out conversation. And then it's used on the reverse as well. So some people kind of get out of the sauna cycle a little bit quicker. They'll get changed and they'll wait for their friends here. And they often meet people coming in on the next session. They overlap and there's been a lot of friendships formed in this area and it's really what it was built for, is to bring that sense of like connection in a covered space so that you're not standing out in the rain.
Let's have a little look in the changing rooms in here. So again, lovely wood environment, really cozy. You have the candles and the flowers.
Again, in here it was to bring that warmth. So if you look at the handcrafted individual changing stalls with lovely wood paneling, the area that we're standing in now is called the vanity area. You'll see a lot of this on Instagram as well. And what this is if you come out and you just need to put on some creams or you want to take care of your skin a little bit, it gives you that little soft space to do so. Actually, a funny story, the table was actually an original table from Katie Riley's, which is the pub beside us, and we brought it in and we upcycled it. So that's half the table. So everybody that comes through here kind of has a story that's probably linked back to the table, and the other half is the bench behind you. So we wanted to bring, again, that purpose, repurpose of the area back in. So this is your little space, we call it the vanity area. You have your individual changing stalls, there's 8 of them, which is perfect for the numbers coming through. And at the bottom then we have bag storage. So that's really our changing rooms. As you said, nice soft materials, everything is warm and enclosed and gives you a lot of privacy.
Okay, so we're changed now, we're walking, and what am I supposed to start with first? Am I going to start with the cold water or the sauna?
So that's the big debate. And there's actually no correct protocol because everybody's different. I mean, if you've come, some people have come from work, some people have come from doing exercise. There is no protocol. And if I was to recommend to people, what I'd probably do, especially as we're many of us are beginners here in this country, is I'd have a quick cold shower. That's for hygiene. We always shower before the sauna and the baths. So it's just to wash off some, if you have any creams or oils on your body. And I'd always start with the sauna. So the idea of that is it's more comfortable to kind of get your body temperature up. After about 5 or 6 minutes, your heart rate is starting to rise. You're starting to get that kind of workout feel. Your core temperature is rising. So you're getting the heat shock benefits of the sauna after about 6 or 7 minutes. After that, the cold plunge becomes a lot more, I don't like to use the word bearable, but like it's a lot more welcome because your brain and your body are craving to cool down. So we start with the sauna. We don't time anybody. This is not a race, but people are going about 8 or 10 minutes in the sauna, a minute in the ice bath, take some time outside to just feel that experience of the cold air on the hot skin and vice versa. So we have created space perfectly to allow that straight from hot to cold. The good thing is you're looking at multiple baths, they're not all cold. So we have an awful lot of high performance teams that come through here, like we have a great partnership with Waterford FC and a number of other GAA clubs. They love the cold because they're using it for the science sports recovery. Our other water system is a lot more welcoming. It's like the sea. It kind of sits between 12 and 14 degrees. So it's fully filtered, fully chilled water at a controlled temperature. So that's a big plus. So we're in the sauna, get your core temperature up, get your ice bath, 30 seconds a minute is loads for a beginner. And then the road, so we kind of go three rounds of that.
Can I ask you about the actual saunas? Because I see there's a little fire lighting in there. So how, I guess, do the saunas themselves work?
So I actually custom made these saunas in Lithuania and imported them. So the sauna itself is a wood fired. It's a 3 meter cube, gorgeous designs. We've insulated the saunas fully and an external fed stove. So it gives people that privacy in the sauna, but it's a consistent heat.
And I think it smells nicer as well.
It does smell nicer. So when we light it early before the shift starts, it smells like campfire and it brings you back to your youth. Like they're purposely laid out so that you can see the fire as soon as you come out. So it adds to the feel of the place.
Okay. So I've had 6 minutes in the sauna and I'm ready to plunge myself into some, I will say, lukewarm water. Would there be a bit of lukewarm water here?
That's pushing it. we have degrees of cold. Now, we did do a beginner session last week. We're going to do them every couple of weeks. That was fantastic. And I purposely pushed the temperature of the water up. So I have full control over the temperature. So it was that gentler. We can do that for beginner sessions.
Do you know what these remind me of? Kind of like cattle trucks.
That was an option, actually. I do know that there's other saunas using them, but we actually, they do look like cattle troughs, but this is a fantastic system we brought in from the UK. So each of these two baths are one unit, full filtration on them. In the back here, you have a pump, a swimming pool filter, and a reverse heat pump controlling the water quality and temperature. They look like cattle troughs, but believe
when you look inside, it's very complex.
Absolutely, it is very complex. But again, the look of these was on purpose. It's to bring it back to that
homeliness almost.
Yeah, exactly. So what you can't really get on social media or on a website is the actual feel of the place. And that's what people always say when they're leaving, is that they just felt like calm, relaxed, and all of the equipment, the aesthetic, everything was purposefully laid out exactly for that.
And I love the way that it's your own kind of wellness journey that inspired you to set this up, because I think once people discover looking after yourself and wellness, it's transformative.
It absolutely is. I have 4 kids. I'm really busy. I was working, as I said, for 8 years doing shift work, which looks fantastic. I actually love my time for one of the world's largest pharmaceutical plants, but takes a toll on the body. Heading towards 40, I could feel aches, pains, obviously doing long commutes, mood wasn't great. So you're always kind of looking for what can I do to kind of reset. And the more and more I use on a regular basis, I just saw a drastic improvement in my overall mood, physical well-being, and most importantly, my mental health. So I knew I was hooked. I was hooked, and that's inspired me, as I said, along with a negative life event such as redundancy. I turned that into a positive, and I said it's the time to inspire others to kind of discover the wellness and maybe have a little fun along the way as well.
Who are the kind of people that are coming here? Is it young? Is it old? Is it all ages?
Yeah, would you believe that's been one of the biggest surprises for me. So the demographic, I suppose, around the Dublin model and the greater Dublin region model, you find an awful lot of younger people using them. It's very trendy at the minute. But what's really surprised me here in the best possible way is the diverse age group and how they're mixing and incorporating the space, and they're actually coming time and time again. Like, we have users who've never used saunas in their life from 65 and 70 years plus, who have now discovered and they're living here. They're coming back all the time. They're founding members, as we call them, and we can't get them out of the place. We have an awful lot of high performance sport teams using it. We can tailor the area for them. We can turn the bats down. We can book it out privately. And then we have an awful lot of younger people. So we have a huge diverse range of people come through. I suppose what I'm seeing the most of on a consistent basis is couples. It's a great kind of a date activity, especially for people with kids, because we find it difficult to get people to mind the kids to maybe go to the pub or to go out for dinner because it's late in the evening, whereas you can pop out at 5 or 6 o'clock in the evening, 45 minutes, get your sauna in, get your wellness, get your connection where you're actually talking, no phones, and a lot of groups of female friends. Female friends getting in and coming time and time again, a lot of couples, but a really diverse age group, which is fantastic. Nobody's excluded.
We did a documentary a few months ago about, I guess, the decline in people going to the pub, the decline in people going to nightclubs and looking for spaces like this. Is that something that you've seen yourself and maybe somewhat inspired you to say, do you know what, I think now is the time to like set up a business that isn't centred around the pub or going out or alcohol, and something that will benefit people themselves?
100%. So just the whole movement in around the sauna culture in Ireland, and they're saying that's becoming the third place. Like, people have to work in their home and they're looking for, in Ireland it was always the pub, whereas saunas are becoming that third place for a whole cohort of our demographic. So I actually think the timing was perfect to open it. I would love them to open it 6 months earlier, but these things take time. So I do see that need for everybody to have some place to go, an alternative from the pub. Look, it has its social benefits, but do we really get to connect and chat? Do we get off our phones? Just TVs all around you. You know, you're not really getting that reset, and then you don't feel the best the next morning. Whereas people are coming in here, are getting that connection. They're getting a bit of quiet space where they can catch up and actually have meaningful conversations, and they're actually leaving feeling great. They're going home, they're sleeping great. They're waking up the next morning refreshed. So it's like that alternative to the pub. Definitely don't want to close pubs, but the sauna is without a doubt becoming the new alternative.
So I'm here with Kevin. You're in for a bit of sauna and cold water. Tell us a little bit about your own experience with the sauna social.
Yeah, but I didn't believe I'd ever get into that cold water because of the mentally, I thought it was kind of impossible to do it, type of thing, yeah. And then I read up on the thing, and like, kind of, it's all to do with your breathing and your mind, and tell yourself to get into cold water, and then one leg in, the next leg in, and just sit down and just only relax and enjoy it. And now, even though it's well named because of when I go into the pod there and chat to people, it's kind of a real social event, and the amount of old and young people I meet is fantastic.
Okay, I'm just about to take the plunge. I was in the sauna just for about 3 minutes, so a bit shorter than usual, but I'm going to give this a lash. I am going to try the 12 degrees Celsius one. Is that it, Martin? So I'm going to try the 12 degrees Celsius one just for the first time, but we'll see how we get on. Oh! It's okay. Oh! That is extreme, but lovely. Where can people book in, or what way do you go about booking an appointment?
So on the website, which is www.thesaunasocial.ie, all information is there, but really people are engaging with our Instagram, which is thesaunasocial.ie on Instagram, our Facebook and our TikTok. The booking link is on all of our socials, and we post there regularly with upcoming events and stuff like that. So normally direct people to Instagram, they're going to get more up-to-date content, or maybe what's happening this week or next week, but it's also on the website, www.thesaunasocial.ie.
The Sunday Grill on Beat. It's the Sunday Grill, and the Southeast Science Festival is underway with lots of events taking place all across the region over the coming days. And joining me to talk all about it is Dr. Sheila Donegan, the Director of CalMast at SETU. Sheila, are you excited to carry out all of these fantastic events across the region, celebrating science in unusual ways, I have to say?
Thanks so much for having me on, and absolutely, I really can't wait for it to start. We've an amazing lineup of events, whether you're into astronomy or you wonder what wines should go with different foods, or you just want to have a laugh with the science theme. We've all these events taking place right across the region all this week.
There was something about chemistry in the Celts, and as you said, what food will work best with what wine. But I think that really just demonstrates how quirky and interesting science can be, because, you know, there'd be many people out there that would have horror memories of science in school and dissecting, a sheep's heart or whatever it might be. But science is much bigger and more exciting than that.
Well, really, that's what Science Week, it's all about. It's about taking science out of the lab and really showing that science is such an integral part of our world. So much of what we do has been shaped or is being shaped by science. And science, it's too important to be left to scientists. It really affects all of us, and we all use science every day. So because of that, we've developed a programme ranging from events for preschools, for families and for adults. So as you mentioned, chemistry and the Celts, we have a fantastic performer who is running shows in the National Opera House in Wexford for families today, Sunday, on the science of the science and the chemistry of the Celts. It's a really entertaining event with lots of fun, lots of laughs, but it's also educational as well. And we have the show running across Waterford, Clonmel, Tipperary, Wexford, and also in Carlow. So it's really to get young children interested in science. And then we also have events taking place for adults. As you said, the wine pairing and why certain wines go with certain foods. That's taking place in Union Restaurant, where Morgan, their sommelier, will guide people through wine pairings and the science behind it. So really, there is something for everybody, whether you have young children who want to get engaged in science from a young age, right up to events for retired people and everybody in between.
Yeah. And I mean, science is such a big industry, and the life sciences in particular is such a big industry for the Southeast region. Is that why, I guess, this Science Week started 30 years ago now?
The Science Week, it's a national programme that's it's managed by Research Ireland. So there are events taking place all over the country. But SETU have been running Science Week in the Southeast for 29 of the 30 years that Science Week is running. We're blessed to have so many great, you know, science companies and tech companies in the region. And, you know, it's really important for people in the region to get a chance to explore science, and particularly for young children, you know, they may develop an interest in science and become the scientists and leaders of these industries in the future. So we believe it's really important that children from a young age get exposed to these things, because the earlier children get exposed to them, the greater the chance they have of enjoying them and perhaps having a career in science.
It was big news in the past year that veterinary science is coming to the Southeast region and coming to SETU. Obviously a huge move for the younger people and huge opportunities for younger people that would be interested in studying veterinary medicine. So I know, was that really exciting in the past year to see?
It's a fantastic addition to the many courses that are available at the moment in SETU, in Carlow, in Wexford and in Waterford. So it is fantastic. It's also fantastic that we're getting pharmacy as well. So these are great, you know, investments in the future of science in the region and in the future of SETU.
do you think that there are many different ways in which it impacts us that we don't even think about? And is that what you'd be looking to, I guess, educate people about over the course of the next few days?
No, absolutely. Really, everything that we do has been developed or is being developed or has some aspect of science in it. And so we have developed a number of activities and programs with this in mind. We have events looking at the at how science is being used to solve crime. We're also looking at a very lighthearted forms of science, where we've a comedy night in Downs' pub in Waterford on Thursday next. We also have another comedy night in Clare's pub in Kilkenny. So if you just want to have a laugh, the event is free. Come along and have some fun, and you know, you might learn some science as well.
And where can people find out more information about all of these different events taking place over the next few days?
CalMast, SETU STEM Engagement Centre, we're actually running three different Science Week festivals. So we've three websites. So if you bear with me, for Waterford and Clonmel and Carrigansure, our website is calmast.ie. For the Kilkenny Science Festival, the website is stemkilkenny.ie. And for Wexford, it's WexSci. So all the events are free, but we're asking people to pre-book.
The Sunday Grill on Beat.
Now, a few months ago, you may have heard of a man called Shane who moved to Spain. He's back on the line with us. It's Shane Malidi, DCU student from County Wexford. How are you doing, Shane? Remind us where you are.
I'm very good, Aoife. I'm chilling in Alicante at the moment.
How is the weather? You were saying to me there that it's you had the fan on in the background.
It is currently 26 degrees right now.
We are all very jealous, yeah, in November. How bad, how bad. What kind of a place is Alicante as a student?
As a student, it's like the lively, like is the best way I could describe it. There's people everywhere and kind of like everyone is quite like friendly and open to talk to, like it's great because they love when you try speak Spanish to them anyway, so everyone is just so fun and like, you know, out for a good time kind of thing.
So lots of nights out and crack and all of that.
Exactly, the perfect student life, you know.
Very good. In terms of the culture, so you're mentioning there that, you know, people are very impressed when you're using your Spanish, but in terms of the Spanish culture compared to the Irish culture, I know that you moved back in September, so you have a good read of it now at this point. How would you think it compares?
So in Spain, I think like they take everything very relaxed. Lunchtime, or like, you know, meals in general, it's like, you know, you sit down for say an hour and a half, and you take time to yourself. Compared to Ireland, we kind of like, for example, coffees, like we'd never sit down for a coffee and give ourselves like 45 minutes just to think. It's just like coffee on the go, or right, 5 minutes, get this down me and off I go. So it's more like chill and like relaxed pacing, kind of daily routines as well.
So that's a big thing in terms of different cultures that you've noticed yourself. And how are you taking to that change?
I quite like the relaxing, take it at your own pace. Quite like it suits me perfectly. I don't have a daily routine yet. I know it's heading into month three now, but sure. I'll pick up a routine sometime.
What's it like studying in Spanish at a Spanish university?
It's literally the saying sink or swim, like you're thrown into the deep end and, you know, you have to deal with it. Like, for example, one of my modules, the professor was going through like what we had to do for the year and our assessments. I completely misunderstood him. I thought we had a presentation due every Friday. That was how he was going to present our Marcus. I showed up to the first class with the presentation done, and my mate looked at me and just went, "Mate, what are you doing?" So, yeah, bit of a language barrier, but you learn to get over it, kind of thing.
And in the 3 months, do you think that your Spanish has improved much?
Definitely. Like, not even the Spanish, just my confidence in speaking.
And I'm sure you've been on a few excursions, and I know that you're a surfer as well when you're at home. So what have the highlights been so far?
One of the days we went on an excursion, and we rented a boat and just went around to different islands. We went to Tabarca, and it was like we got to go snorkeling and jumping off the boat and kind of just like faffing around the island, which was lovely. That was nice. And then yeah, we went to this place called Calamarag, which was just picturesque. It was so nice.
And you know, obviously Alicante is such a big tourist spot, but do you think that studying there and living there for the past few months has kind of given you a new insight to that part of Spain?
It has, yes, definitely. Like, it wouldn't be rare to walk down the street and hear people speak English. And in terms of like the hostility towards the tourists, it doesn't really exist here. People kind of just like get on with it kind of thing. So it's nice. Like, it's definitely eye opening.
What has the most difficult thing been for you so far, Shane?
Literally the first week I moved, I was surfing on the beach and all of my belongings were stolen.
Oh my God.
So it was a great start. It was a great start to the Elder Erasmus. So I had to, go down to the police station without Google Maps. I had to, like, I got lost about 7 times. There was, like, the police didn't speak English. So through my broken Spanish and, I don't know, panicked brain, I was, like, trying to scramble out any bit of Spanish that I knew, saying, my phone was robbed. This happened. I had to go back 3 times to get the form, like, officially signed, because there was mistakes with it. So that definitely wasn't the best old start. Now,
you knew you were alive then anyway.
Exactly. Yeah. But I had my laptop, so I was able to keep in contact with my parents through WhatsApp and whatever. So
was it like living in the 90s or something with no mobile phones?
Honest to God, I felt like just like an entity floating around, like nothing. I felt so disconnected. But no, a bit of a social media detox was good for me, like, you know.
You were talking about your parents there and keeping in touch with your parents. How have you found that, being away in a different country? Is there any little bit of homesickness?
There is a bit of homesickness. Now, like, as I'm comparing Ireland to Spain and sitting in a country with 26 degrees heat in November and it's probably, you know, lashing rain at home, that part I don't really miss. Like, I'm kind of saying, like, God, I'm lucky now. But like, you do miss the family. Like, the biggest thing I've been saying to my mates over here is spice bags. Like, I that's the first thing I'm getting when I go home. A dirty spice bag, I think.
And what's it like, I guess, you know, when you're speaking Spanish all the time, at any point are you like, oh my God, I just want to speak English just to give my brain a break?
Yes, absolutely. So it's kind of like, because I'll give you an example, playing rugby. I signed up for the rugby team with college and nobody speaks English there. So I'm constantly thinking in Spanish, speaking in Spanish, being given orders in Spanish. And then, like, once I hear somebody else speaking English on the other team, I'm like, right, that's my guy. So it's nice. It's a nice little break from the Spanish.
I'd say that's deadly, to actually play a sport in another language.
It is. It's definitely an experience. And like, in terms of learning the Spanish, like, I've no time to think and translate in my head what they're saying to me. I just have to act. So it's like, kind of like, as I said, no time to think, just do it and understand.
And in terms of making friends, I'm sure you're friends with lots of others that are on the Erasmus programme, but is it harder to make friends with other Spanish students, or is the rugby a good way in?
The rugby is definitely a good way in. Yeah, so obviously Erasmus, I'm mates with a load on the Erasmus, but rugby as well. Like, I've kind of joined the group there, so it's nice. I feel part of Spain now.
And how, you have to tell me, is there any, obviously, you know, there are rules in sport that are the same across the globe, but have you noticed any differences in playing rugby in Ireland compared to Spain?
The rugby culture is a tad different in terms of, like, I'll just say initiations. Spain don't really have initiations for rugby, Ireland, we do.
So obviously you're on Erasmus for a whole year. There will be a lot of people that will be doing one semester on Erasmus come January. So what advice would you have to those?
Go to classes. As tempting as it is to skip that lecture on a Friday, go to it. Because a lot of the Spanish lecturers, anyway, attendance is mandatory. Like, they're marked attendance. And if you miss more than 4 classes, you can't qualify for a continuous assessment grade. So your exam will be 100% exam.
Very nice. And also, just before you go, I'd love a parting phrase. Is there anything good that you can share with us for people that might be interested in in learning a bit of Spanish?
To tie it into the weather that I was speaking about, a mal tiempo, buena cara. So it means in bad weather, show a nice face. Buena cara.
A mal tiempo, buena cara.
Yes.
Yes. Excellent. Excelente. No? I'm just trying to think back on Dora here. Shane, thank you so much. Look, enjoy the rest of your term in Spain and we'll catch you again soon.
The Sunday Grill on Beat.
It's Sunday morning and you're listening to Beat. I don't know about you, but I'm dying for a holiday to look forward to at the moment. So joining me to chat all things travel this morning is Kilkenny independent travel agent Jessie Maher from Taste of Travel on Insta. Good morning, Jessie. How are you?
Good morning, Aoife. How are you?
I want to talk to you all about winter holidays and the best places you can go to this time of year. What are the big destinations you've been booking yourself through your travel agents?
So at the moment, I have a few clients going to, you'll see the divide here between city breaks and winter sun, because I have people going to, say, Amsterdam, Malaga, Vienna, Tenerife, Fuerteventura, and then after Christmas I have people going to Sri Lanka and Asia, so there's quite a variety there.
And do you know, I guess for some people they want to escape the dark days and the rain and all that, so do you think that like the sun holidays are kind of becoming more popular for the winter?
Yeah, definitely. As soon as the weather starts getting a bit worse, like, you do see people looking into sun holidays. And yeah, like, say, even from September, I've had people messaging me about sun holidays between November and January.
And obviously as well, the city breaks are quite popular at this time of year. You have like big cities, particularly in places like Germany, that do the Christmas markets as well. That seems to be big, doesn't
it? Yeah, absolutely. Like, there's loads of places for that do really good Christmas markets. I was in Cologne myself. That was gorgeous. I have a group of ladies going to Vienna. And then other ones that I think are good would be like Edinburgh, London, Bruges in Belgium, Strasbourg, Budapest, Prague. They're all gorgeous.
Like, is it expensive to go to one of those cities, like, when it comes to Christmas markets? Because I guess they are real destinations people tend to go to, particularly at this time of year.
You know, it kind of depends on, I suppose, the dates you're going and the location. Like, I think just have a look on Ryanair and go for the place that you can get the cheapest flights, because the cost of the flights is what takes up the bulk of your budget for when you're traveling, because you can always budget your accommodation to what you want to spend. It's the flights are the main one, like, do you know.
What about like ski trips? I mentally always think in my head that they are something that are very unattainable, very expensive. But do you think that there are more kind of destinations out there now maybe than what there would have been years ago when it comes to skiing? And do you think people are kind of venturing out a bit?
Oh, definitely. Like, last year I went skiing in Bulgaria, and I don't think I would have maybe visited Bulgaria if it wasn't for a ski trip. And oh my god, I absolutely loved it. And Bulgaria is a really good place to go skiing as well, because it's probably one of the cheapest places you can go skiing, and then while you're there it's quite cheap, like, in the area as well, so, and it's great crack.
If you want to travel in Ireland, we hear it all the time in the news about the cost of hotels and the prices being astronomical. What do you think are the best ways to save money if you want to travel on the island of Ireland? Or what kind of holidays do you think work well in Ireland at this time of year?
To be honest, like, Ireland is gone quite expensive. Like, that's why people do opt to go abroad on holidays, because you'd nearly get flights and accommodation for 5 days cheaper than you get two or three nights here. But I think the main thing to do in Ireland is keep, if you have your heart set on one destination, keep an eye out for deals for that place. Now, you might have to go midweek because it is a lot more expensive to go on the weekends and stuff. But, like, for example, I went up to Galgarm in Belfast there last week, and it was absolutely gorgeous. I got a really good deal. I was there 2 or 3 years ago, and I've been dreaming about going back ever since, because it's absolutely gorgeous, especially in the winter. But I just kept an eye out for deals, and I managed to get a really good deal actually through my Rev Points. So if people don't know about Rev Points, get to know, because
is this on Revolut?
Yeah, so on Revolut, you just have to activate your Rev Points. They're free, so you just get points for spending money on Revolut. And I had built up so many Rev Points that I was able to save, I think, about €150 off my stay on Galgarm. We got an absolutely brilliant deal in Galgarm from a Monday to a Wednesday, 2 nights, 2 people, breakfast included, use of all of the spa facilities, oh my God, it's just absolutely gorgeous up there. It's a real treat.
So you'd recommend if you were to go away in Ireland at this time of year, you're not going to be hiking maybe in the lashing rain or whatever, a nice spa trip is nice, is it?
Oh, absolutely. We were sitting in the hot tub and the rain was pouring down and it was just and nobody moved. Like, it was absolutely gorgeous. It's like the place to be in the winter if you want a spa break.
What do you think are some other ways you can save when it comes to booking holidays or going away that people might necessarily think of?
I think, to be honest, a lot of people are looking more at like the price of flights before they pick a destination. I've had a lot of people come to me with a destination in mind, and then when I come back to them with the price of the flights for those dates, they nearly ask me what destinations are looking cheaper for those dates, and then they'll pick a destination based on the price of the flights rather than the destination itself, if you get me. So people are kind of comparing flight prices first before they pick where they're going more than ever now. Go on Ryanair, go on Aer Lingus, give me a text. We'll see what's cheap for that month. And yeah, I think just keep an eye out for flight deals. And then also you can kind of save money if you like don't sit together on the flight and, you know, those kind of things, because the bags and stuff does add up a lot as well. Like if you can manage to go on a city break with your hand luggage, I know like pennies and stuff do those bags that you can bring as a carry-on, you can fit quite a bit in it. But like you'll save money by cutting out those little things as well, do you know?
Is it worth as well, Jessie, booking well in advance, or is a last minute option good as well? Like how much time should you give when it comes to booking a trip?
Again, it kind of depends on the destination, because I've had people come to me, say, nearly a year in advance and flight prices are absolutely outrageous. And then they'll come back to me a few months later and they've gone down. But then if you leave it too late, it can go back up again. So I think it's just about keeping in, like once you have in mind where you'd like to go, just keeping an eye on flights I would say start looking a few months in advance. And then if they're quite expensive, then maybe leave it a while, because there is a chance that they'll drop, you know?
What trips do you have planned yourself now in the next while, or what are you looking forward to?
So at the moment, normally I would have more planned. This is unlike me to just have the one. But at the moment, I'm going to Prague now in 2 or 3 weeks' time. So I've actually never been to Prague, so I'm really looking forward to that. Me and my friend are going. So
fab. And how much is that working out, if you don't mind me asking?
I think about less than 300 each. For 3 nights, flights and accommodation included, 10 kg bags, breakfast, a lot. So I think it's just under 300 each.
Where can people find out more information about your deals and trips and just general travel bits, Jessie?
So you can follow me on Instagram at Taste of Travel. My handle is actually tasteoftravel.ie. And if you have any travel questions, pop me a message, or if you need hand planning an itinerary or looking for hotel deals or anything, give me a shout, because I'll be more than happy to help.
Okay, I'll be taking you up on that. Thanks, Jessie. The Sunday Grill on Beat. It's movie time on The Sunday Grill, and Oadrin has gone to see a film with a strong Irish connection. Begonia, starring Emma Stone, tells the story of two men who kidnap the CEO of a major company because they think she's an alien. Let's take a listen to this.
They want you to think it's you, that it's you who made this world. But it's always been them. All we've lost, all that's been done to us, we're setting that right again. Greetings.
In Brian's absence, Oadrin Johnson is here to review Begonia. Is it Begonia or Begonia?
Begonia. And it doesn't say it throughout the entire movie, so I was waiting for that moment and it didn't happen. So I feel like I've already let down the Brian Eastas that would be waiting
for
him
to come on
already.
Not at all. How did you find Begonia, I'll call it?
I really liked it. Now, I think the best bit of advice I got, and this is kind of counterproductive to what we're talking about, is to go in with absolutely no knowledge about it, because it just kind of immediately grabs you by the horns and rips you throughout the entire movie, and it's brilliant for that whole purpose. And you mentioned that Irish connection at the beginning. I suppose for people that probably don't know, the original movie was made in 2003. It's a South Korean movie, and it's a remake of that. And I'm not even going to try and explain as to what that movie's about, because I haven't seen it. But the co-production is between Ireland, the United States and South Korea. And the US and South Korea make sense, because obviously it's been made in the US, and then it's obviously got the South Korean heritage to it. But Ireland's involvement in it is through, once again, Element Pictures, who people will know for a lot of great productions that have come out of the US in recent years. And of course, the main cinematographer for the movie is Robbie Ryan, who is an Oscar-nominated Irish cinematographer.
Oh, wow.
So that's the Irish connection to it, and that's probably about where it stops, to be honest.
Okay, fair. But, and yeah. Emma Stone has red hair and
probably has some kind of an Irish heritage. But not in the movie. It starts off in the trailer, at least, being kind of like a generic comedy movie. And then is there like a twist or how would you describe it?
Yeah, so like most black comedies, it's kind of got that sort of edge to it where you think, should I be laughing at this or should I be kind of like horrified by what's going on in front of me? And it's obviously based on this whole idea, and something that probably resonates with a lot of people today, especially from what we're seeing online with discourse, is that Teddy, the main character played by Jesse Plemons, along with his cousin Don, who's played by Aidan Delbas, are kind of these sort of reclusive people who are now turned to conspiracy theories to address kind of trauma that has happened to them in their life up until this point. And so there's obviously that element of realism to it. We see all the stuff about like right-wing pipelines online or whatnot and how that can get to it. Now this takes that bit step
but
further.
But their conspiracy theory is that she's an alien.
Yeah, so this is what I mean. So it takes that bit step further, which is what we'd associate with like the sort of humorous side of conspiracy theories of like flat earth and like aliens like watching over us or whatever.
Shane Dawson back in the day on YouTube kinda.
Yeah, along those lines, but I don't know, probably with more conviction than him given from what happens in this movie.
What did you make of the acting throughout?
It's fair to say at this point that like Emma Stone is a fantastic actor, like, and there's nothing taken away from her performances in this. As well, Jesse Plemons I think is probably underappreciated a lot in the roles that he's done. I know he's kind of used to being in these sort of weird roles. He was in Civil War, which was an A24 movie. He's brilliant throughout it. Aidan Delbas was a real surprise for me because I hadn't heard anything about him up until this movie, and he is brilliant as Don throughout the movie. It's a very small cast. There's Stavros Halkias. He plays Casey, this police officer who has a somewhat relation to both Don and to Teddy. And then we've got Sandy, who's played by Alicia Silverstone, who is the mother who is now in a comatose state of Teddy.
Alicia Silverstone, i.e. Cher from Clueless. How scary is it? Because I do not like scary movies, but would you say I'd manage it?
I think you would. It's a black comedy thriller, so there's not horror really per se in it. The horror you can kind of, I feel like it's, the horror comes from the nuance of it, in the sense that you're kind of judging what's on screen and kind of seeing what's happening. And I think the horror comes from how you can relate it to the real world. If you're kind of delving
yeah,
into
okay.
it that
deeply. So but like you might be a bit disturbed by it.
But in the same case, as any black comedy is, like, you know, there's moments of brevity where you're kind of laughing at the absurdist nature of everything that's going on. So it's not scary in that sense of the term.
And how was the production itself and the cinematography and all of the things that people that love films love?
I love it. I mean, The Favourite and Poor Things have great cinematography in them, which is obviously Yorgos Lanthimos' like previous work. And it this shines through. It's got that weird sort of like griminess to it, which obviously kind of sets it apart from, like, if you ever watch like old horror movies like Texas Chainsaw Massacre or whatever, you'd be noticed to this sort of like weird grime 80s aesthetic on screen. You kind of get that to a little bit of the extent in this, but the way it's shot is really nice. The colours are really vivid. You've got this really great soundtrack that accompanies everything to it as well. And even the way characters are framed within shots, like, kind of shows the power dynamic between all of them as well.
Who would you recommend this movie to?
It's a strange one, and it probably sounds really weird to say you'd recommend it to pretty much anyone and everyone. I feel like some people will
maybe
get something
children.
Out of it. probably not the best like introduction to it, but I can see people who are like really hardcore film nerds getting something out of this, but also I can see people who are like wanting to go out maybe with their partner or whatever, go to the cinema, maybe go and see the new movie and they see Emma Stone in it or whatever, and they're like, we give that a go. It is probably a bit on the more freakier side for people that are going into it, and they probably might come out and think, what have I just watched? Like, this is really weird. But I do think it's worth experiencing, absolutely. And I think the audience scores on it on Rotten Tomatoes and other review sites are really kind of pointing in the direction of people getting a lot out of this regardless of background in film.
Yeah, because we had a big debate before this film review about what movie we're going to watch, and you were saying Begunia, and I was like, there was some kind of a romantic comedy.
You're regretting you, yeah. Not
and you weren't having it, and you weren't having it. So look, in fairness, it does sound good. I'll give you that, like a genuinely good film with genuine good actors, and it didn't necessarily fail to live up to expectations.
No, absolutely not. And again, I said at the beginning, and I know it's a bit, again, counterintuitive to say it after we've just talked so much about it, but go into it with as little knowledge as possible. Like, maybe if you haven't seen the trailer, stick away from it. Just go into it, sit down, and just allow it to take you away. And that's not to say if you have seen the trailer and if you listen to all this and whatever, you're not missing out on anything. I haven't given away anything.
Is the music good in that?
Like, again, it's such an absurdist topic and subject matter, like conspiracy theories and aliens and all that, that having this whimsical nature over something that looks quite brutal on screen can actually make it again, as you mentioned, kind of scary, but at the same time also kind of like enthralling to watch.
So what are we thinking, Begonia? How many black puddings are you giving Begonia out of 10?
I think, and Brian will probably kill me if I like mess up his rating system and give this an absurdly high mark, but I do think it's an 8 out of 10.
Okay.
I think it's really good. I think it's an 8 out of 10, I think, for me. And I think if you go in, I could see somebody coming out of it and saying, oh, that was awful, I don't want to go and see that. Or like that wasn't what I was expecting when I went into it. Because the trailer can be a little misleading as to what the entire movie is like.
Is the majority of the movie about the actual alien-y part?
It's, well, no. There's more, obviously, elements of themes.
Alien-y.
Yeah, I suppose the real alien element to it is the alienation of, like, Jesse Plemons' character, Teddy, from society, and his disenfranchisement with the way in which corporations deal with, like, the way his mother's in a comatose state, and that's because of a failed drugs trial test from Michelle Fuller's character, played by Emma Stone in this movie. Like, so that's the alienation aspect of really. Now, obviously, there's more on screen, like, oh, she's an alien and all this sort of thing. You can imagine, like, a movie with such a small cast of characters and in such a confined space can lend itself to being quite jaded very quickly. But the characters are interesting enough, and the premise of it and sort of the way it's shot and the way the characters, you know, interact with each other keeps it interesting to that point, I think.
Okay, so black comedy, Begonia, starring Emma Stone. Thanks so much for that review, Odrin, and we'll catch you during the week reading The Sport and with Sportsbeat Extra as well next Saturday.
Thanks a million, Aoife.
The Sunday Grill on Beat.
It's the Sunday Grill, and it is that time of the week where we hear what's on the telly and the streaming platforms and all of the rest. I have Donal O'Donoghue from the RTE Guide on the line. Donal, how are you doing?
Great, Aoife, actually. We'll be talking about something very shortly. I'll just get a taste. As the worst TV show ever, Aoife. I'm sure you've watched it.
I haven't watched it.
you're probably wondering now, what could that be, I wonder? But can we start with something that I really like, actually? I've seen the first episode. It starts tonight, and it's stripped right over tonight, Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night. It's called Trespasses. It's on Channel 4 at 9 o'clock tonight, and it's on 9 o'clock on the following nights as well. It's based on the award-winning book by Louise Kennedy. It's a fabulous book. It's her first novel, actually, and it was opted and straight for TV straight away. So basically, the story is simply, it's set in 1975 in a town just outside Belfast. The main character is a Catholic school teacher played by Lola Pettigrew. You might have seen her in the Disney thing last year. Disney RA drama last year.
Say Nothing.
Anyway, she's a brilliant.
It was fantastic. Yeah. Absolutely.
Say Nothing. Well, she played one of the sisters. Yeah, she's an amazing actress, and she seems to be popping everywhere now. But she plays this Catholic school teacher called Kushla, and she works with her brother in a bar, and she bumps into this character at the bar called Michael. He's an older married man, Protestant, from the other side of the community, and he's a barrister. He often defends controversial cases involving RA suspects. In other words, do not go near him is the big thing saying, do not go. So she has an affair with him, right, obviously. And then her mum, who's at home, played by Gillian Anderson, who gin sodden woman. It's a great performance by Gillian Anderson, actually, and really good accent.
Yeah,
as well.
How was her accent? Saying she's quite good.
It's actually very good. The funny thing is, I spoke with Louise Kennedy, the author, last week, the author of the novel, and she said she was invited to a party when the book was optioned, because Gillian Anderson loved the novel. This is how it came to be on screen in the first place. Gillian Anderson loved Trespasses, the novel. The novel was optioned for the screen. This thing, sometimes they never make it to screen. She had a party in her London home, Gillian Anderson, and in the middle of the party, Louise, who probably had one or two drinks, said to her, "Listen, Gillian, you'd be perfect as the mum." And so it came to pass. She does play the mum, and her accent is amazing. It's really, really good. I suppose because she's been, you know, the series with The Fall. Remember that series?
With Jamie Dornan.
She was in The Fall as well. Exactly, with Jamie. Good old Jamie, yeah. So anyway, so Gillian's in it, Martin McCann's in it, Barry Ward, Lorcan Cranch. Really good cast. It looks amazing. It really captures the sense of the period of the time, 1975, the middle of the Troubles. Amazing performance by Lola Pettigrew again. Tom Cullen plays Michael, the guy she falls in love with, across the divide, love divided. I just really liked it based on the first episode. I really, really liked the show, and I can't wait to watch the next three as well over the next 3 days.
And I'm sure as well, I know this was kind of the success of Derry Girls in that it was about life in the Troubles, but not necessarily about the conflict itself, but just living and the kind of social history of that.
It is, but whereas Derry Girls is very much a comic, as we know, is very much a comic kind of take on the whole thing, kind of like a sideways look at the Troubles. This is very much in the heart of, like, you know, because you have, it's very much like the sectarian divide. It really focuses on sectarian divide, and it's essentially a love story. It really is a love story, and the music, the period of the music, is really evokes all the period as well. But it's kind of a tragic love story. I imagine it's a tragic love story. Well, I read the novel, so I kind of know how it pans out. But if you haven't read the novel. Even if you have read the novel, you'll see some different stuff in this as well, actually. I really like it, actually.
So that's Channel 4 tonight.
Tomorrow night, Tuesday and Wednesday. So the next four nights, basically.
Brilliant. At 9 o'clock. I have to say, I love the All 4 player. I don't have Channel 4 on a channel as such, but the All 4 player, I'm sure we'll be able to get it on that as well.
It's absolutely. And it's free, Aoife. It's free.
It's free. That so is much, the main thing.
That is a key thing. Yes, exactly.
So another programme on tonight, RTE 1 Hidden Assets.
It's a new season of it, actually. It's been going for a few seasons now, actually. It's someone had this idea something a few years back, the basic crime drama set in Dublin and elsewhere, because it's based on the Criminal Assets Bureau. And this time it previously was set in, like, I don't know if you've seen any of these shows, but it would kind of travel between, say, mainland Europe and Ireland, and the Criminal Assets police tracking down various notorious or criminals across Europe. In this case, we're back. Sarah Jane Noon, she plays DS Claire Wallace. She's back, and Kathy Belton, the great Kathy Belton's in there as Nora Dillon. Aaron Monaghan is back as Detective Sergeant Sean Prendergast. And the new series kicks off actually with a murder investigation, with the brutal murder of a journalist and his family and her family in Bilbao in Spain. And the killings are linked to a cab raid in Ireland. So the whole thing is kind of linked in together. So D.S. Wallace, the Irish detectives travel to Spain, see what's going on. They realize that the money trail takes them there. Then it takes them back to Ireland. Then another body is surfaces. Then they find a network involving migrant smuggling. Then there's a questionable charity involved in all this. And then there's also an Irish ex-convict as well involved in the whole jigsaw of this puzzle. So they have to piece it all together before more lives are lost. The cast also includes, apart from the people mentioned, Donal O'Halley, Catherine Walker and Steve Wall, who also you would probably know from The Stunning, the band The Stunning. He's a good actor as well, very good actor.
So a jack of all trades he is. And do you know what? It's nice to watch an Irish crime drama as well.
And I suspect as well that this is happening coming in Sunday, but it's kind of replacing Obituary, which is just finishing. It's probably kind of replacing Obituary in the Irish homemade crime dramas, you know. Well, Obituary is a sort of crime drama. By the way, did you ever watch Obituary? It's finishing up shortly in the next 2 weeks. Yeah, it's well worth seeing, actually. It's you know what it's about, don't you? It finished, the finale is in 2 weeks' time, actually, on Tuesday night on RT1. It's about I've kind of gone on a tangent here, but it's about a person who writes obituaries for a local newspaper, a fictional newspaper called the Kilraven Chronicle, and she's also a serial killer. So there we go.
Interesting. I did actually read the death notices myself back in the day on my local radio station. So I think I'll find that one quite interesting. Now, you mentioned this at the start, a show that is streaming on Disney Plus, which has been deemed one of the worst shows ever. Tell us about that.
Well, actually, it's not one of them. It's now the worst TV show of all time, according to not just one, but umpteen critics and reviewers. I haven't seen it, and I don't know if I will see it, because apparently it's so bad, it's not even worth watching. But it's been hyped for a while. It's called All's Fair, I should say. The big hype really was not the fact that it was written by the new one from Ryan Murphy, because, you know, he can be a bit over the top, say the least, but it's starring Kim Kardashian. That was the big one. It's Kim Kardashian's big role. Now, I know Kim Kardashian, as you said to me earlier, has done some work with Ryan Murphy before on American Horror Story, I should say. Well, this really is an American Horror Story, because it's so bad. It's like so bad you don't go near it, apparently. The cast, as ever, Ryan Murphy has this talent, or whatever you want to call it, of attracting really high wattage cast. Apart from Kim Kardashian, okay, whatever, but her acting ability, she's a major player in the world stage.
Probably the biggest celebrity in the world, really.
That's true, yeah. But the cast also includes Naomi Watts, Glenn Close is in there in small part, Sarah Paulson's in there. It's got a really good cast, and yet it's unmitigatingly bad. Some of the reviews are saying, sometimes it's so bad you should watch it. They're saying it's so bad you shouldn't go near it.
I'm just looking here. Following a successful divorce lawyer and the owner of an all-female law firm in LA, and obviously Kim has been studying the bar for the past few years, and her dad was such a high-profile lawyer. That's obviously why she wanted to
get involved in this, or maybe it was written just for her, I don't know.
Yeah.
5% on Rotten Tomatoes. I kind of want to see it. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to watch an episode.
I'd love. But basically, it's set around an all-female law firm who are delivering justice to incredibly rich but slightly unlucky women. Unlucky in love, I imagine. It's an all set in California. The dialogue is bad, but the acting. I mean, what you do that kind of with dialogue? The dialogue is so bad, even great actors can't do anything with it. And this is just an absolute. Yeah, but you will probably watch it, won't you? I get the feeling you are.
I think I'd be too intrigued not to just watch at least one episode.
I mean, the other thing, obviously, Kim Kardashian is also, along with a number of other people, is a producer, is an exec producer on this. Her mother as well, Kris Jenner. Kris Jenner is also an exec producer. Naomi Watts is an exec producer. Glenn Close. So there's a whole lot of people to blame here.
what do they say? Too many cooks sometimes can spoil the broth.
Yeah.
Donal, thanks so much for filling us in. Orla will be back in the hot seat next week. So I'll chat to you again at some time in the near future, I'm sure.
Thanks a million, Aoife.